This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We wanted to talk about the fourth line, and it goes back to a conversation that we had about what should they be trying out before the trade deadline to see what they have for internal options. And we put the poll out, and to people's credit, some people wrote in Brazo as an option and explained, okay, this is, he's a bigger body. He can do kind of some of the things the Bruins look like they need. He can be physical. And then we saw Richard's speed. So we see these two call-ups, and it wasn't any of the guys that we list. It wasn't Beecher. It wasn't Lysell. It wasn't Merkulov. The answer was other, I guess. So Brazo comes up. Steen gets waived and cleared. He cleared waivers. So now he's back with Providence, and Lauko gets sat. So what it does is really it sparked that fourth line. I think it gave it energy. Like all of a sudden it felt fresh again. It didn't feel stagnant because you throw two guys on that line plus Boqvist who are all fighting to be in the NHL. And it just feels a little bit different. Like you immediately saw them go to work and get things done. Boqvist scored the first goal. He's looking more confident. And like Scott mentioned, they have played individually together at different times. So it's not they're 100% unfamiliar with each other. And so far, so good, really, with those moves. I don't think the lineup missed Lauko too much. And Steen, basically what Coach said about Steen when we talked to him before the game with Dallas was, basically, he did everything he could do, which is kind of like to say, like, he did exactly the amount that, like, he did his best, but it probably isn't enough to keep him around. It's not really, you know, it was like a backhanded compliment, kind of. Like, it felt like a compliment, but then when you think about it, it was like, okay, no, his best wasn't good enough to keep on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, he had 1 point in 34 games. Like, it's, you can only roll with that for so long before you have to make a change. So, by the way, Bruins might need another body because we don't know if they're completely healthy up front as they hit the road. Lauko was dealing with an upper body injury. Montgomery didn't specifically say if he could have played Monday or not. He was initially listed as questionable. And then Anthony Richard also took a slap shot off the foot that looked very painful, and he was a little bit in and out the rest of the game. He did take shifts after that, but I don't know if it was quite regular playing time.
Yeah, he went down the tunnel early third period and came back with like 2 minutes left. But then he took an overtime shift. That was an interesting turn of events. It was like him and Boqvist out there together or something like that. And
you know, we'll have to see if they announce another call-up either Tuesday or Wednesday, or, you know, what exactly the status of those guys are. But, yeah, I mean, the fourth line as a whole, though, like, obviously they had to try something, and now you're at this combination of Richard, Bogvist, Brazo, where you've got the speed with two of the guys in Bogvist and Richard, and you saw that play a factor Monday on the Bruins' first goal, where that's all speed. McAvoy starts the transition, Richard down the wing, and then Bogvist just flying up the middle, gets behind the defense and makes a really nice play to settle the pass and then take it to his forehand for the finish. And then Brazo is as the big body. And you saw him getting to the net front, you saw what he can do there. So, obviously continue with that until it stops working, assuming Richard's able to continue to play. But I don't know if like that's going to stick as the fourth line the rest of the season, or if you trust that as your fourth line in the playoffs. There's a reason that all three of those guys were in Providence much of the season. There's a reason none of them made your team, out of training camp. But it looked good on Monday, and I thought Richard and Bogvist played pretty well on Saturday too. Richard got his first goal as a Bruin in that game. So try it until they give you a reason to not to use it. Try it until they, give you a reason to change it.
They all have a goal in the last two games.
I liked Richard. I like his game. But you know what I wouldn't mind seeing, honestly, as a bottom six combination at some point? And I'm not even talking in the playoffs. I'm just saying at some point to see what it would look like. I would like to see a third line of Frederick, Geeky, and Lysel, maybe. And a fourth line of Beecher, centering Brazo and Heinen. I mean, I think there's size on that fourth line, and you have NHL savvy and veteran leadership in Heinen and steadiness. And then that third line, you have size with a little bit of flash. I just think, like, again, the while on this podcast we all agree that, like, yes, the regular season matters to collect points to make the playoffs, but it's about how you're playing when you get to the playoffs. Because the one benefit, the major benefit to the Bruins being so high in the standings is they do have, maybe not against Florida cushion, but they have playoff cushion. I think they should use this time to try and see what other combinations they have, because they're not going to fall out of the playoffs. So what do you guys think about a combination of that in the bottom six potentially?
Yeah, I would still like to see Lysel get a chance at some point. And if he keeps playing the way he's been playing in Providence, at some point it becomes a situation where it's almost like you have to give him a look just because he's earned it, and you want to reward guys just like they have rewarded Brazo and Richard recently. It's like part of that is, yes, you have to change things up and try something else in your bottom six. Part of it is those guys earned it and you want to reward them. But I would say the same thing remains true. Like there's still jobs up for grabs in that bottom six, like nothing's settled yet. Like I just said, like roll with this fourth line until they have a bad game or two, but I don't expect this combination to just like stay together now to the finish line. So I think there's going to be opportunities to give some other guys a chance. So Lysel to me would be next on that list. We'll see if the Bruins agree. Obviously, he brings something different, right? He's more skilled, so he's not going to be in on the fourth line. You're moving him up, like you said, probably on the third line to start. But yeah, I would like to see that. And with Brazo too, the question with him for a long time has been, is his skating NHL level? And I think there's going to be times where we see that come up as an issue, and it'll just be a matter of whether the other good stuff outweighs it. NHL debut, first game goal, it's very easy to focus on all the positives and kind of be, like, whoa, diamond in the rough, look what the Bruins just found. And it's like, all right, let's give it a few games. That there's going to be stuff that comes up where you're going to be like, oh, that's why maybe he didn't get a chance before this. So we'll see, but obviously an encouraging start for Brisson.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Coach said, and I'm trying to look up how many pounds he says he lost, but he said he, like, his skating is, it's getting better and better as he's put the work in, because he's worked his ass off to get down to a certain weight. And I'm trying to, I can't find it right now, but yeah, it was a significant
also, also Brazo's not much of a fighter, which I know some people, you know, on social media, like, looked up and kind of shared yesterday. But people should also be aware of that, because I think people see 6'5" fourth liner and think like, oh, super tough guy, he's gonna, you know, pound the snot out of everyone. He hasn't been much of a fighter, so don't expect that.
No, but what I thought when I saw his size is I saw puck protection down low, and mm-hmm. I saw winning board battles in the corners and in front of the net. Those are the things that win you playoff series. And you know, when I bring up that potential fourth line of Beecher, Brazo, and Heinen, I see, again, would have to see it, right, to believe it and see if it could be a strong combination. But I see size, speed, physicality, and face-off production out of Beecher when he's on his game. So if that line's out there and you're winning a lot of face-offs and you're starting off your shifts with possession, that's a strong suit. I see, obviously, the size and puck protection and ability to be physical with Brazo. And then I see Danton Heinen, who, again, just Mr. Professional, like, you know, just like steady Eddie down there in the fourth line and just would really calm things down. I could see that fourth line causing problems for teams in a playoff series. I think, admittedly, have to see more from Brazo to anoint him to this spot. Again, to your point, Scott, one game is not enough, but all you could do so far is the one game, right? And he showed, believe it or not, here's the reality. Brazo showed more in one game than Lauko and Steen showed in a combined 60, you know, games this year, 70 games this year. So that's the reality of the situation. One game scoring is more than, you know, Steen's done all year.
And he almost scored twice.
Yeah. And Richard too. Richard has produced in the last couple of games too. I know we mentioned him too. And I don't mean to discard him and just toss him as a 13th forward. I want Richard around maybe too until he – and so, Scott, to your point about like letting that fourth line play until they have a bad game, I understand that. But I don't know. That fourth line combination I mentioned, to me, I want to see that with a Lysel call-up just to see if he can do anything in the third line. But you know, playoff series are all about depth, and I think the Bruins would be very wise if the Bruins' top lines are going to be relied on David Pack. So the Bruins rely on David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand on their respective lines. A lot of these top contending teams have a couple of elite players on each of their top two lines, whereas the Bruins have one elite player per their top two lines. The point I'm trying to illustrate here is, I don't know if when it comes to the playoffs, I'm not so sure the Bruins' top two lines are going to overpower other playoff teams' top two lines, because where they might not have a David Pastrnak, they might have an Austin Matthews and a Mitch Marner. And like they might have a little bit more firepower in the front lines. So I think the Bruins would be really wise to make sure that their bottom two lines are where they could win playoff series. And I think that tinkering with some of these combinations will help you see what the best options could be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, if that's their strategy, there's still, in my opinion, the bottom six is not going to currently constituted. We haven't seen a whole lot. Like, we haven't seen enough to think that they could win a playoff series for Boston. And yeah. And that's not to like take anything away from Trent Frederick or Morgan Geekie, but they are probably the two bright spots in the bottom six. And then, but it's about finding the rest of it, like finding the fourth line of guys that can play together be offensive, but also, like you said, Brian, be good possession guys and not be liabilities. And that was like the, I think that was the very first thing Montgomery said when asked about like, what does Brazo bring? And he said puck possession and being heavy down low were the two first things that he said. And those are very important. And that is exactly what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Like, is there someone in Providence that can do that stuff better than Lauko and Steen? And, you know, we saw that he, in a one game sample size, which is small, that the answer was yes. And it looks promising for the future. So in terms of like picking the right call up, as of right now, it looks like this is actually like has a decent hope of being a solution for them in the bottom six. And then maybe we're not talking about adding Pat Maroon, or maybe we are, because maybe it's still like, all right, he's going to come cheap and we still need a veteran. Like, you could add that too, but at least it does short-term give you an opportunity to look at options before you are deciding about trade deadline stuff. And I don't know, I'm optimistic about it really. When I think about how that line looked yesterday, it actually, like, the entertainment value was higher. And obviously the drive for those guys is different than like people who have been in the lineup for a while, because it's brand new. It's, I have a chance to prove myself, and he did. So if he takes that mentality for the next few games or however long he gets a look, he's going to be successful, I think. And hopefully that maybe could be contagious to that line and bring them more success.
Yeah. And I want to make sure, like, let's not at all downplay having Frederick Geeky, and I'll throw Heinen in there too, in your bottom six, because I know I did this a little bit the last podcast, but like, there's probably not really any team that feels great about their bottom six. Everyone is lacking depth because the salary cap has barely gone up in 4 years. Teams have not been able to keep guys. So everyone is either young players who maybe aren't quite NHL ready, or veterans bouncing around on cheap deals. And the Bruins have found the veterans who have actually produced with, you know, Van Riemsdyk and Heinen. I think there's a lot of even contenders who would be thrilled to have a Trent Frederick on their third line. The team you face yesterday, Dallas, they might be one team that probably is a little deeper than you up front, but they haven't had the high-end production. Like, Jason Robertson is who you'd look at as like, oh, that's their high-end forward. Well, he's having a little bit of a down year, so he's not Pastrnak right now. Vancouver would probably be another that feels really good about their third line. But there's not a lot of those teams, though. Like, I don't think Tampa's one of them. I don't think Florida is. I don't think Toronto is. Colorado is definitely looking to upgrade their middle six. Like, everyone's kind of dealing with a lot of the same problems.
Well, if you think about it, like, and that's why I qualified it in the beginning of what I started to say, that Frederick and Geeky are definitely not people that you're concerned about in those roles, because those Frederick has outperformed his previous seasons. Geeky has been solid. Those two can score. They're smart players. And even like Van Riemsdyk has been in the bottom six at times. And that's somebody that you would say, okay, if that's our bottom six, like we're looking pretty good. It's just been about when we say bottom six, honestly, more often than not, we're talking about the fourth line. So like, we don't even need to necessarily drag those guys into it when obviously it's important to talk about them as well. But the real issues they were having was that fourth line wasn't really doing much of anything. So
every time they roll out Steen and Lauko, it's a waste of a game. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. It's like, they're not it. Like, they're not it. Oscar Steen is not it. And you know, obviously the Bruins waive him and they send him to Providence. In my opinion, it's like, I don't know why it took him so long. But to your point, Scott, like, yeah, other contenders, like, they would probably want a better bottom six. And that's why I think, like, that's where the Bruins could really gain an advantage over some of these teams. And maybe it's that the players in Providence that they call up, maybe they're not – maybe it turns out they're just not good enough. Maybe the Bruins system between Boston and Providence. Maybe they don't have enough to win the Stanley Cup by having a great bottom six. But you got to find out, because you know it's not Steen and you know it's not Loco. And I just I was really encouraged by the Brazo signing. And I just feel like there's a ton of – I am optimistic too, Bridget. Like, I think that there is – there's a ceiling, I think, for this Bruins team that's untapped right now, because the Bruins, for whatever reason, they're unwilling to give, you know, a Mrkulov or a Lysell an extended third line look. Like, put Heinen down on the fourth line. Like, that's and Brazo and Beecher, like, that's a big body fourth line with some NHL experience in Heinen, and see if you can get something out of a Lysell or a Mrkulov on a third line with Geeky and Frederick. And find that out now, because if you've tried those lines out or something like that and you don't find that they're good enough, Bridget, to your point, okay, fine, maybe we're just not good enough, but let's see if there's something else out there on the externally. And every game they just kept rolling out Steen and Lauko. It's like, guys, for Christ's sakes, can we, like, this is not it. They're not helping the team right now, and it's not helping you find out what you need to address, because you're not giving internal options opportunities either. So I'm glad to see Brazo get an opportunity. Hopefully that there's more looks to come, because again, when you have this lead in the standings, again, not over Florida, but when you have this playoff cushion that they have, the Bruins are making the playoffs. They're not making the playoffs. And to me, again, we learned last year, it doesn't matter if you go in as the first seed or the eighth seed. Go in playing the right way. And for me, for my money, the Bruins' priority for the rest of the season shouldn't be let's finish as high in the standings as possible. It should be let's find the best grouping of players as possible and to play the best way that we can. Hopefully that leads to success in the meantime, right? But that's what I want to see. I want to see the best Bruins roster they can put out there. And it starts with giving guys looks in the bottom six. It just does. Your top six is your top six. Coyle, Zacha, those are your guys. Marchand, Bergeron, Van Riemsdyk, DeBrus. That's your top six.
Did you just say Bergeron?
What did I say?
You said Bergeron.
Oh, boy. Wishful thinking.
I forget. I'm going to stop you there, because do you know something I don't know? Like, did he sign
insider here. Insider. No, 20 years of saying it. No. I almost just said it again. Coyle, Zacha, Marchand, Pastrnak, JVR, DeBrus. Right now, that's your top six. Maybe you add somebody at the deadline, maybe you don't, but their focus right now, in my opinion, should be tinkering with some of these third and fourth line combinations. And I really think I'm onto something by putting Heinen on the fourth line. He can play anywhere, sure, but I just think that Heinen on the fourth line opens up a spot in that third line, and see if a young kid can run with it. I mean, who's the kid in Dallas, Scott? Wyatt Johnson? I mean, not to harp on it, and yep, it's not apples to apples, but, you know, selected two picks after Fabian Lysell. He's been in the league for, you know, 2 years now. He's one of Dallas's better scorers, and it's like, here we are scratching and clawing to see if we can get Fabian Lysell one NHL game, for Christ's sake. And he's playing well. So, I don't know. That's – if I'll shut up if I see them do that, like, one way or the other. I just that's the one thing I want to see, because – regular season NHL hockey, as we know, there's ups and there's downs. The Bruins getting, you know, 2 points here and there is not as important to me as finding out the best combination of players that they have. And I guess I'll leave it at that for now.